Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Luke, the 7th chapter, the first 10 verses. Hear now the word of God. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. On Ash Wednesday, I began this series of sermons about, in the matters of the heart, do they really matter? And then last Sunday, on the first Sunday in the Lenten season, Dondra preached also a sermon from the Sermon on the Plain that is found in Luke. And so today I am preaching the next thing that happens in the Gospel of Luke. But before we do that, I think it's important that we kind of give some context to how Luke tells the story. The Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are written by the same person. The person is Luke. Luke is a friend and traveling companion of Paul. And we know that we see this and read this in both Acts and some of the letters. But the other thing that's interesting about Luke is that the two books that he writes are the only two books in the New Testament written by a Gentile. And so when we read the Gospel of Luke, he brings some unique perspective to it. Because we see that in during that time of Jesus' day, and also the day in which Luke wrote the letter, and even today, there is a question about who is on the inside and who is on the outside. When I was a child, we had organized Little League and baseball and Little League baseball and football and all those things. But the most fun we had growing up was when we would gather at one of the local schools and we would choose sides. The most athletic or the best athlete in the group, then the best two would pick sides. And you would find out very quickly who was on the inside and who was on the outside. Sometimes they wouldn't want to pick the worst player unless they're the one who brought the baseball. And then they had to choose them. But you find out quickly who's on the inside, who's on the outside. Even today, we know who's on the inside and outside of our particular understanding of what we consider truth. In those days, it was the same way. In the days of Jesus, the land, the Israel was occupied by the rule of Rome, the Roman Empire. And so we have this. And the people of the Jews of Israel despised the Romans. They were praying for, looking for a Messiah, a military leader who would be like David, who would run them out of Israel. So there is animosity there. There is also animosity, and we read it throughout the New Testament in different books, where the Jewish elders had problems with Jesus. And Jesus had problems with them. They had a misunderstanding. The Jewish elders didn't like his understanding of or belief about the law. And then there's the people who were the least, the slaves. People had beliefs about who they were and why they were slaves. And so we see this pecking order. And we see within the Gospel of Luke this patron and client system, where in Israel in these days, everybody was a patron and everybody was a client, unless you were the very lowest of the low and you were the patron of no one, or you were the very highest and you had no patron over you. And so we see this happening here. But just as we can read it with the understanding of what is happening there when Jesus is living and walking and doing his ministry there in Capernaum, we can also read this gospel from the perspective that Luke wrote it some 40 years later, in between probably 70 to 90 AD. There were things going on at that time. Well, if it happened after 70, the war in Jerusalem, where there was an uprising of the Jewish people against the Romans, and the Romans destroyed the temple and Jerusalem was burned, that had already happened. By this time, there was Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. After the resurrection of Jesus and Pentecost, there were more Jewish Christians than there were Gentile Christians. And as Paul and others left Jerusalem and that area and spread out, there became more and more Gentile Christians. So by the time Luke is actually writing it, there are more Gentile Christians than there are Jewish Christians, and they didn't get along at all. Two summers ago, when we were, June and I went to Rome and toured the Colosseum, and our tour guide told us that when they were building the Colosseum, they used 60,000 slaves. And I started wondering, okay, who were those slaves? Interestingly, they were the Jews they took from Jerusalem to Rome. And our tour guide talked about how these slaves were treated, for they truly were worked to death building the Colosseum. No time off. They worked until they died, and they replaced them. 60,000 Jewish slaves. And so you get an idea of what slaves were, how they were treated in that time. Both Christians and Jews knew the wrath of the Roman people, the Roman leaders. So when we start looking at the story, it takes on a different meaning. If we look at it from the day of the actual event, here were the people who hated this Roman centurion, or should have hated the Romans because they didn't want them there in Galilee or in Jerusalem, anywhere near them. There were problems in each place. Now get to the time when Luke writes it. This story is appearing immediately after the Sermon on the Plain. And the story begins with the centurion, who doesn't act like normal centurions. He has a slave who he loves. He loves to the point that the slave is sick and he needs and wants him to be healed. And so who does he call? He calls Jewish elders. In that day, by that time, with the destruction of the temple, the Sadducees, who their power seat was the temple, they were no longer in existence because the temple was gone. The Jewish zealots, they were not around. They had been killed in the war. the Jewish Essenes who live by themselves off somewhere. They stay clean by staying away from everybody. They were no longer a presence because they were isolated. And so the ones you have left are the Pharisees, whose power seat were the various synagogues throughout the region. And so here are these synagogue leaders, these elders, who obey the law. That's the way you stay clean. You obey the law. And the law says that you touch a Gentile, you are unclean. And this centurion who has and loves a slave tells you to go to Jesus and ask him to heal the centurion's slave. It doesn't make sense. There's tension everywhere. Why would they even go? Why would they do that? But when they get to Jesus, we learn that the centurion, whom everybody would have normally hated, actually cares for the people of Capernaum, the Jewish people of Capernaum, to the point that he actually built them a synagogue. So they had no problem asking Jesus to go. Who's on the inside? Who is on the outside? Who's the patron? Who's the client? And so Jesus hears the story and he goes back with them. He's going to heal the slave, and he goes, and as they're approaching, this centurion understands what he's asked this Jesus to do. And he understands the way his patron client situation works. He is a client to those above him, but he has people under him, and he says, go do this, and they go do that. He tells them to come to him, and they come to him. If Jesus is a patron like I know to be a patron, all he needs to do is say the word, the power of the word. And when Jesus sees it, the faith of the centurion, his slave is healed. And when the friends get back to the centurion's house, they find the slave healed. In the matters of the heart, does it really matter? The interesting part of this story is takes place in chapter 7. In chapter 6, just before this, in the Sermon on the Plain, we hear these words, but I tell you, this is Jesus talking. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop with taking your tunic, but give to everyone who asks you. We see that in the most unlikely of people, a centurion. The most highest person, socioeconomic ladder in Capernaum, has compassion on the least in all the town. One who is of no value to him because he is about to die has compassion. He loves the one who society would say he doesn't need to love. He loves his community and the people who hate him. And not only did he give them a cloak, he gave them his shirt when he paid for their synagogue. And because of his care and compassion for those Jewish people, they had no problem going to Jesus and asking him to go help the slave. And when all of that happened, Jesus says, in all of Israel, I have never seen such faith. So when we start talking about how strong is our faith, I think we need to begin with the centurion, because I believe that our faith is seen in how we treat other people. People who are a patron and client, people who are on the inside and on the outside. And this is the example of the Sermon on the Plain. I ask myself sometimes in this time of division, this great division within our own country, within our church, within our community, within all the places we look, there is division. I wonder, what does true faith look like here and now? Do we have such faith that we put anybody that disagrees with us outside? Because we think we are morally righteous, morally superior to other people that we disagree with, to the point that we put them outside? Or do we bring them in? And I truly believe, based on this story, that the strength of our faith has to do with how we love everybody and how we go about bringing everyone into the circle, because that is the people that God wants to redeem. And in Capernaum, in the days of Jesus, the one who started it was one of the most unlikely of people, a centurion. How strong are you? How strong is your faith? How strong is our faith? Because I believe this, if there are more people on the outside in our lives than there are on the inside, I think one day you and I will wake up and we will realize that we weren't on the inside at all, but all those people that we put on the outside were on the inside. Let us pray. Lord God, may we have compassion on the least of these. May we love those who do not love us. May we have compassion on them as well. May we want to redeem those on the outside as much as you want to redeem those on the outside. As much as you want to redeem the least of these. And as we do it, may our faith grow stronger and stronger each day. Amen.